see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Here it is. I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman Podcast, episode 177, being recorded a few days before release from my temporary rental in Brooklyn, New York. Oh, folks, I am crinkling something in the background, which is always the height of podcast professionalism. Oh, my God. I've got so many things to talk to you guys about. Thank you for the emotional support from you guys. The people who agreed with me about matches being, just match books being at establishments. Willy-nilly is a thing of the past. And then we all prefer to light candles with matches. Well, I say we all, one person got back to me. All right. Wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is how my brain works. I was just about to say, wait. Did I release that one? Of course I did, because I just said somebody wrote back to me. See, there's something, what do you call that when your brain, is it dumb or am I sensing some kind of problem? Sorry, I'm trying to light my candles. Why do I have to light candles during a podcast? Well, because it's an evening, the sun is going down, and it's my favorite time of day and night to light candles. I'm also, I know if you've never listened to this podcast before, you're probably like, what the fuck is this? But you know, here's the thing. There's 177 of these, okay? And this is what it is. It's me talking off the top of my head. Now, I have a list of things I want to talk about that I've been keeping notes all week. But I started lighting candles, and I'm not in front of the paper, okay? So I'm just vamping, as they say. And it's not going well. This is the extent of what I can think of, because I'm preoccupied with holding a microphone and the device I'm recording into and trying to light a candle. All right, that's the truth. So if you're like, why am I going to listen to this podcast? This is stupid. Well, just maybe check out some of the other ones. All right, let's get to it. Oh my goodness, everybody. We've got so much listener email. We've got articles. I've got thoughts. I think this is going to spill over into next one article. I mean, I know I'm not addressing the big things going on in the world, but it's like, just know that my political take is forever and a day. I can't with this. And that goes for the left and the right. Now, I'm a lefty, but I'm not a dumb idiot. I'm not a dumb kid who just goes, nah, 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 nah. I'm going to say something controversial, and this is going to, you're going to shut off the podcast. I mean, I hope it's not true, but I think we're going to see something with Bernie in Russia. I think we're going to see something. Just mark my words, just like you go back to the December 2015, when I said Putin will win the election because somehow a politician's going to be in bed with him. Go back and listen. If you go to Twitter and go to the @IseemFun podcast account and scroll down a little bit, I retweeted someone who grabbed a clip of me saying that. So I'm just saying, you might see something like that. You might not. Again, I hope it's not true. There's some info that's come my way, and I just have a feeling. But we'll see. Now, I'm trying to open this Word document. It's not opening. I guess my computer did some updates without me asking it to. And every time it does it, everything gets slow for 2 hours. How is that an update? All right, look, I'm supposed to do business up top every episode. Who said I have to do that? Me, because I have a podcast document. And every week I blow by it. Guys, watch my comedy special, Just Keep Living, on Netflix. Watch it all the way through. They look at that stuff and give it a thumbs up. I guess they changed it from stars to thumbs up. I still haven't even watched my own on all of my players. I could do that, but I don't. This podcast is also available on Google Play, should you want to listen to it on that. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/iseemfunpodcast. I've already told you the Twitter address. And if you want to, people are abusing the email. We're going to talk about that. If you need to send an email that is pertinent to this podcast, That is, if you have a question you want me to read on the podcast and answer, or if you want to give a suggestion for some clips that I can put into our best of episodes. And what you would do is you would put the date and episode number. If you don't have the episode number, that's fine, but I do need the date, the time code of what clip you want, and a one sentence description of what I'm talking about. Thank you. And you can send that to iseemfunpodcast@gmail.com. And I am part of the All Things Comedy Network. Go to allthingscomedy.com to check out all the other fantastic podcasts that are on this fantastic network for comedians by comedians. And of course, join my email blast. I send it out. Well, you know, not even every week, less, because I don't always have new news. JenKirkman.com. Click on tour dates. You can see all the tour dates that are currently on sale. Again, I say currently on sale, not currently the only places I'm ever going to go again the rest of my life. Not currently everything announced on this tour. Currently on sale. And then you can join the email list should you have any questions. And by that, I mean join the email list and you'll find out where I'm coming before the tickets go on sale. And if you want to listen to all of the episodes of I Seem Fun, starting with number one, that exists on SoundCloud. So just put SoundCloud and Jen Kirkman in Google and it'll come up. All right. People abusing the I Seem Fun. The I Seem Fun address is for it is not to email me about when am I coming to a city. I can't believe anyone that listens to this podcast would actually, I'm talking to you, the guy that said, what do you hate Denver? Why aren't you coming by? Are you fucking kidding me? Did you really use the email to do a come to my city? Denver is the greatest comedy town in America. It is so hard to get booked at the Denver Comedy Works. It's the most popular club in the country. There are hundreds of comedians. They love me. I love them. I told them last year the dates that I was available to come. Myself and the club were not available during the same dates. Right now I'm working a writing job in New York for 13 weeks on and off. I cannot tour during those weeks. I cannot take a gig at Denver. They might only have one for me in May. And I'm like, can't do it. That's how it goes. I'm not doing a one-nighter in Denver because I don't want to compete with the Comedy Works. So I will not come back to Denver until Comedy Works books me, which hopefully will be again. But again, this is a one-nighter tour. And when you perform at the Comedy Works, you have to be there for a week doing 5 shows. So again, don't worry about how tours work. I got it. You just sit back and relax. And if you notice that I'm not coming to your town, then there's many a varied reason that is so boring, you will be as bored as everyone is listening to this. See, now you're boring my listeners because you fucking asked me that on my email. And I'm in a good mood, by the way. Don't be like, Lisa, just bitching. Oh, sorry. Why don't you tune into the podcast where somebody is just like having a great time? I mean, isn't conflict what we all appreciate in life? Not the heart of entertainment. So, folks, don't use the email address for that, or I will block you. Then somebody else use the email address to criticize when I'm coming to New York. He wrote to me because I'm going to be, oh my God, New York City. If you guys don't sell me out, I'm going to be embarrassed. So I'm coming to New York in September on my tour. One night in Manhattan, one night in Brooklyn. I usually just do one night in Brooklyn. I'm throwing in Manhattan for me and you. Oh my God, my computer's, thanks for the update, going slower than ever. Maybe this update is like, you know what? We need everyone to just be more mindful on their computers. So we did an upgrade that's actually going to slow you down. All right. September 21st, I'll be in New York City. And September 22nd, I'll be in Brooklyn. This guy writes me, that's the Jewish holiday. Maybe next time you book a show on a Jewish holiday, you don't do it in a city with 8 million Jews. Excuse me. Don't tell me how many Jews are in New York. I know. Listen to me. The two events I try not to book shows around are Halloween weekend, the Super Bowl, And the World Series. I guess that's three events. Okay. Oddly, the weekend of Thanksgiving and if Christmas falls on a weekend, the weekend of Christmas after can be great comedy nights. People are sick of their families and they want to come out and laugh and they want to keep drinking. Valentine's Day, great for dates or the single people go. Now, Jewish holidays, we don't think about when we're booking shows, not in an anti-Semitic way, but there's plenty of people who do not follow the faith that strongly, and there's plenty of people not of that faith. Would I rather have more Jewish people in the audience than not? You bet I would. Why? I'm just stereotyping that they have better senses of humor than us goys. But listen, I was so annoyed with that, I wrote to my agent and I said, can you believe this? Now what? We have to start thinking about every single fucking holiday? Because you know it's someone just trying to be obnoxious. Do you know what I mean? So my agent wrote, well, you can tell them that your big Jew agent says that Yom Kippur is a week later and that the night when most Jews aren't available for Rosh Hashanah, a.k.a. Erev fucking Rosh Hashanah, falls on the night of Wednesday, September 20th this year, when you are in Boston. So he or she can still take the customary day off work to celebrate the Jewish New Year on Thursday, September 21st, and that leaves he or she sufficient time to be the first in line for doors later that night and get the best seats in the house. Boom, complainer. And by the way, I don't like that my agent thinks there's going to be tickets available at the door. I mean, maybe we'll hold like 20 at the door or something. But fucking seriously, get your tickets now, people. Seriously. Okay. Somebody wrote an I Seem Fun haiku. Isn't that great? If you're like, what's a haiku? It's a poem, doesn't have to rhyme, and it's 5-7-5. Five syllables, then seven, then five. And they wrote, Jen's podcast, Blessing. It takes the unrest away, provides peaceful sleep. And it's from an unknown person. They left no name. They emailed it to me. Now, you can email me a haiku, but don't make it about ticket sales. When are you coming to Denver? Do you hate us? I will buy tickets. Don't send that haiku to me, okay? But I thought that was very sweet. And I envy you people who get to listen to this when you go to sleep. The soothing sounds of me yelling at listeners. I don't have a podcast like Jen Kirkman's I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast to listen to. I have to take my chance and listen to comedians that have live podcasts. And I don't know what kinds of sounds I'll be hearing. It might wake me up from my sleep. You're so lucky that you have me. Do you ever feel that you're communicating correctly, but there's something about you? It's not permanent condition. It's just something in your vibe that week, perhaps, is just off. And no one's understanding what you're saying. And yet nobody thinks it's them. And you're like, no. Communication is off. And you just go, you know what? I think I'll stay in tonight and every night this week because something's going on out there and I'm going to wait. It's like a Mercury retrograde thing, but not that. Because I think that's supposed to affect electronics. Maybe it affects communication as well. I'll tell you why I'm thinking of this. These could be the two most boring stories ever, and yet I find that they will probably be my two most relatable stories. In terms of that feeling that you can't quite put your finger on, where you're like, why are they not understanding me? What is happening? So there's a coffee shop that I've taken to. I would say I'm a regular, but they don't seem to remember me ever. And I have been taken to sitting there and doing work when I have the free time. And I love it because it's 3 steps from where I'm staying. And it's just adorable. So this one morning I go in and I'm feeling, now I never really drink lattes because I just kind of a black coffee person or an Americano person. But I hadn't really eaten a lot and I thought, well, I'll have something filling like a latte. And so, and I was going to be sitting there writing and they were going to put it in a, you know, like a teacup kind of cup, not a paper mug. And when it's not in one of those paper things with the lid, I tend to think it gets colder faster. But a cold latte, like a non-warm latte to me is fine. I don't like non-warm coffee. So I'll get a latte. And I said, can I get a latte? And he said, what kind of milk do you want in that? And I said, anything non-dairy, like almond milk. And he goes, well, do you like it really creamy? And I said, yeah, actually. And he said, well, I would try hemp milk because it's a thicker texture. I said, oh yeah, I've probably had hemp milk. I just don't remember. So I said, sure. And he goes, what would you like that in? And I said, I said, whatever size you have is fine. He goes, no, what would you like the hemp milk in? And I said, huh? He goes, well, what kind of drink do you want it in? He goes, that would be called a latte. And I went, yeah, I know. No, that's what I said, a latte. And then you said, what kind of milk? And then that's how we got on this. He goes, yeah, like we don't just, I mean, we could do warm milk, but normally people put it like in a latte, or I could just make you a hot cup of coffee and you could pour some. And I'm like, I said, no. And the other guy behind the counter was like, don't worry. He's like, there's so many kinds of coffees now. Like, who knows? I'm like, I did know. I said, I came in. I said, how would we be talking about milk if I didn't order a latte? Who comes in and just goes, hemp milk? Oh, I got to put it in something like a, because it says coffee shop outside, but I thought that meant something else. It actually doesn't say coffee shop outside, but you get the point. All they have is coffee. I mean, these dudes are weird. It wasn't even mansplaining. It was just like, it's like these people were raised by wolves and they don't know human interaction. Because I was sitting there and they've got a couple like scones in a case, but they don't have any clear indication that they have something that's pre-made in a to-go situation. But at the same time, there's no indication that they don't. It's this weird place when you walk in and you see people cooking, but like you can't find a menu and you just kind of go, do you have a menu? And they'll go, what are you looking for? And it's like, well, I don't know. Do you have like a menu I can look at? And they're like, well, we're out of most things. And I'm like, okay, forget it. Give me the dry scone. So this woman walked in and she goes, do you have yogurt? But she's like, obviously in a hurry, like read the room, body language. It's, you know, I had the day off work this day, but it was like 9 a.m. ish on a weekday. So she comes like bustling in, hustle bustle, a busy businesswoman, not unlike one you would see in a Hallmark Christmas movie. And she walks in, she said, do you have yogurt? And they said, yeah, that's it. And then they balls in her court, I guess. And she goes, oh, how does it come? And they go, it's just like a yogurt. And she goes, no, but is there like honey or fruit or granola? He goes, we could put mix all that, I guess. And she goes, but like a pre-made thing. Do you have any to go? And they go, oh no, it's just like we could make you something. And she's like, okay, you could see. And I wanted to go, sister, I know. Why couldn't they say, yes, we have yogurt, but we don't have the pre-made. I mean, I knew what she was. I was about to answer for them. So there's something going on with these young men that work at this place. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think we might even be, aren't we in the next generation now? We're not at millennials anymore. Like if somebody's 22 or under, they're not a millennial right now, are they? Or maybe they are. Well, these guys were definitely millennials because they were under 34, but it wasn't even a generational thing. It was just like something's in the air. Something's in the air. I thought it was me. But maybe it's not. But then another thing happened the next day. So I go to get myself a Thai massage. My back was fucked up. And It was just from pulling these freaking 40-pound suitcases and, you know, ugh. It got a little tweaked. So it's fine now. So I go to this place. I call to make an appointment. They're like, cash only. I'm like, great. So I'm walking there, and of course I forgot. I leave myself like 1 minute to get there. And I don't have time to like go to a proper bank ATM or to figure out where one is in my neighborhood. So as I'm walking to the massage, I stop in a restaurant that has an ATM. Ah, it's so hard not to want to say ATM machine. We've been over this. The M in ATM means machine. So you don't need to say ATM machine because you wouldn't say, can I use an automatic teller machine machine? But I feel like ATM just means the thing. Like ATM means, it's just, yeah. And if you want to be picky, you can shame people who go ATM machine. You don't say machine. Say cash machine, or you can say ATM, but you don't need to say ATM machine. All right. So anywho, God, this story is amazing. So I'm just kidding. So I go, it's one of those freestanding ones that after you use it, somebody comes and immediately fishes your credit card number. And how does this work when someone steals my credit card info, which has happened? They're like, oh, they used it at Target on this avenue. I'm like, but the card is in my purse. So did they make a fake card? Because I feel like I get scrutinized when I show up with my card, my ID that looks just like me. They're like, okay, I guess we'll let you use it. And then somehow people have fished my card many times and they walk in and they're like, hello, hello, Jen Kirkman. And it's like a dude with a piece of paper with my numbers written on it. Like, yeah, just can you write these numbers in? But I take out the money anyway. And I go, I get the massage. So relaxing. I'm so relaxed. What a night. I go to pay. I open my wallet. The cash is gone. Now, I'm not accusing anyone of stealing it. I know in that moment, I never put the cash in here. I can feel it in my muscle memory because I'm not used to going to these freestanding ATMs. I could see myself put the card in. I could see myself take the receipt. I did not reach below to open the little door to get the money. I knew it in that moment. And I explained it to the people at the counter. I was like, hang on. And they're like, yeah, you can use the card. It's fine. So I'm walking back home. I walk by the restaurant. Now, it's been a few hours. There's no way my money is still in the thing. Now, what I don't get about that is, like, you wouldn't even see it if you just walked by the machine. Unless you walk by the machine looking for money, which I think would be a little weird because it's inside a restaurant. People would see you come in doing that, and they might be like, what are you doing? So you would have to have been a customer who's taking out money and then saw the money already in the tray and was like, cool, I'll just take it. Now, what kind of person would do that? I don't know. I'm all for stealing if you're down and out. You know? It's like, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. I'm not in that position. And if I were, I'd probably steal too. I don't believe in karma as you lay people put it. It's not about do a bad thing and a bad thing happens to you. Your karma is what you are currently living. So if you are stealing, how it feels to steal is your karma. It is happening in real time. And if that is what your life is, it's miserable anyway. Now, I would prefer you don't mug me, scare me. I've had my car. Oh, one time I was in my bedroom once in my old apartment. And I heard what sounded like, you know, my bedroom window faced this little deck outside. And then, like, if you walked outside of my back door, you're on this, like, tiny deck. And then there was a fence and you opened the fence and you were in my driveway where there are three cars, like for all the different people in the apartments. And I'm in my bedroom and I'm like, that sounds like my car door shutting. I don't know why I knew the sound of my car door, like it was a child of mine, but, and I was like, well, it's 11 at night. I'm like, I don't know. And yeah, I must've left the door unlocked. And you know, I mean, it was a Honda. It was like not a fancy car and there was no sign that I didn't leave any electronics in it. But someone must have just opened the door and rifled through, and they stole my glasses, my driving glasses. And I came in and my car was completely rifled through, and like they didn't put anything back and it was all flipped upside down. And I was like, ugh, just that chills feeling when you're like, someone that doesn't own this was in this and they took something of mine. It's the grossest feeling ever. And then I'm like, well, that meth head had to steal my glasses and sell them. I don't know for what, $20. Fine. God bless that hell that I don't know. So, but I just felt like yucky. Now this public ATM machine, I didn't feel yucky because it's not my property. It's just my money. Was it my money or is it the bank's? So I look at the machine and no, the money is not there. And I'm like, well, maybe some honest person turned it into the lost and found at the restaurant. Now I trust the people at the restaurant implicitly. I don't know why, I just do. Seem like fine people. Why would you steal money at your own restaurant? So I wasn't accusing them. So I walked in and I said, do you guys have a lost and found? And they said, yeah. And I said, this sounds crazy. I'm sure it's not in your lost and found. I said, no one's turned anything in tonight, have they? And they said, you know, they always have to ask someone, Shirley, did anyone turn the lost and found? No, no. I said, okay. I said, this is crazy, but I used your ATM and I took out money and I forgot to take the money and I walked away. They go, I don't know anything about that. You'd have to call the number on that. I go, no, I'm not registering a complaint about the ATM. I'm telling you, I left my money in it. And they go, well, we didn't see anything. I go, no, I know. I said, I just would be crazy not to check. So I came in and checked and the money wasn't there. So I thought maybe some honest person who was using the ATM noticed that there was an amount of money in there already. And then maybe they turned it in. And she goes, well, I mean, we didn't take it. I go, I didn't say you took it. I was just asking. And she goes, well, who would do that? I go, no, I don't know. I don't know who would return money. But I would, I think. I think I would. No, you know what I would do? I'd probably leave it there thinking, well, that person will come back or I don't know what this is or you know what I mean? Because what if you take the money out of the thing and then you walk away and then like there's a security camera and then you're off the camera? I don't know. Listen, it's not my business. So I was like, oh, forget it. Like, never mind. And I walked out and I was like, I'm not leaving the house for the rest of the weekend. That was last weekend. I don't really have an end to this. So I'm just saying, do you ever just feel like, why doesn't no one understand what I'm saying? I know I'm being clear. But maybe I use too many words, and that is definitely not a maybe. That is a yesy. I am a blabbermouth, long-winded person who will say, now what I'm about to say might sound like this, and then I say another thing, and then you're like, what was she about to say? I understand. I know who I am. Mm-mm-mm. Drinking water through a straw. So I was going to complain about these two dudes, but I feel like this is the complaint hour. So I'll leave it to the next episode. Oh my God, you can't even wait. You can't even wait for me to tell you about the guys separately who commented on my wallet and my yoga mat. Oh, you can't even wait for that story, but you're going to have to. You're going to have to. I've got some listener emails for you. This is from someone whose girlfriend had a stroke. Hello, my name is Heidi, and my girlfriend, Eleanor, pardon me, with your fancy girlfriend's name. She recently emailed you. Her subject was politics, and I'm sure it was very opinionated and very heated, seeing as how she's adorably hot-headed on such topics. She's a future lawyer and emailed you about politics. So as a future doctor, it seems fitting to email you about medicine. Well, what a cute couple you two ladies are. Hang on. My beautiful Eleanor, you sound like a creepy old man. My beautiful Eleanor had a stroke 2 weeks ago. Very sad, blah, blah, blah. That's what she wrote, blah, blah, blah. I didn't. Well, you have us laughing our asses off about it. We recently started binging your podcast and your vocal warm-up, My Arm Is Numb. My arm is numb, my arm is numb. Ooh, a little rasp. Let me take some water. My arm is numb, my arm is numb, my arm is numb. Remember when I couldn't do that, you guys? followed by a bit about someone in your apartment building thinking you had a stroke due to you repeatedly saying this, was entirely too accurate. Due to her hemorrhage strokes, my girlfriend can't feel her left hand and has a pretty severe stutter. Now I keep going, my arm is numb, and my girlfriend is loving it. Anyway, I wanted to say a quick thank you because your comedy has brought my girlfriend and I a lot of joy in a pretty trying time. She introduced me to your specials on Netflix a month or so back, and we enjoyed watching them together. When she was in the hospital after her strokes and seizures, and I was waiting for news, I found myself watching them to calm me down and make me laugh, despite being scared shitless for my girlfriend's health. Now your podcast is making her laugh and bringing her joy as she not so patiently, what are you going to judge her, waits to get out of the hospital. If you happen to read her email, please tell her to calm the hell down and stop yelling about our moldy carrot of a president before she adds an aneurysm to her medical history. Thank you for all you do, Heidi. All right, yeah. Eleanor, calm down. Calm down, lady. Here's the thing, Eleanor. We're all screaming about the president. Even people who voted for him. So just know while you rest, we'll scream. And you can join us screaming when you're better. But this is not time for you to be screaming. I swear to God, it's not an ego thing. It just makes my heart warm when people say they watched my comedy to make them laugh. I just think it's such a beautiful instinct to want to laugh while you're going through something hard. Where do we get that? That is survival. That is a survival instinct to go against what we feel so that we can cope more. I think it's beautiful. I wish I had more of it myself. I've talked about this before. I weirdly do not turn to comedy when I'm sad. It makes me feel worse. I don't know why. But I think it's beautiful. And I'm so sorry she had a stroke. A stroke is like, it just seems so not preventable. It just seems like, you could be sitting here and go like, I could totally have a stroke right now. And you wouldn't be being paranoid. It's like, that's an option. That's an option for all of us right now. My friend had a stroke though, and she's absolutely fine. If that might not help, you might have already found out that like, no, she's not going to be fine. And I'm like, my friend had one. But my friend did. She was scuba diving in Mexico. Real tank on the back scuba diving. And the pressure did something to something in her body. And she had the stroke a week later. When she'd returned to Los Angeles, she and her husband were at the movies, and then just shit started going crazy in her head and body, and they went to the hospital, and she was having a stroke. I'm so glad she didn't have it while on vacation. I assume that would not be ideal to have a stroke in a third world country. And so, she was sort of stuttering and numb and like not paralyzed, because I guess that's quite a permanent term, but she was, she couldn't move certain things, and now she doesn't have any signs of it at all. But her doctor was like, don't get your neck cracked by a chiropractor. Now, I don't know if that's, listen, if chiropractors out there, don't freak out at me. That's just what they told my friend. I don't know if she's supposed to, just calm down. Anyway, I'm glad my arm is numb helped. And that brings me to laughter, laughter, laughter is important. And I do not like this fucking generation, this kid. When Don Rickles died this week, I was like, oh, Lord, could you imagine if the kids today, these 20-somethings, these fucking Bernie purity fucks, can you imagine them understanding Don Rickles? Oh, I'm triggered. He's problematic. Oh, I made a joke, and it wasn't even a good joke. People always freak out about my things that I don't even think are that funny. And I end up deleting them later because I'm like, these aren't funny jokes. And then people take a screen grab and go, don't think you can run away from it. I'm like, oh, would you calm down, children? Please. I put, I don't even remember what it was. It was something about Trump. It was before. Oh, he was retweeting the Drudge Report. It just looks like, it's like this is the president. The president is retweeting like a biased far-right news magazine. It just looks so pathetic. And so I put, our president retweets the Drudge Report. I'd rather have him grab my pussy. Now, oh, everybody got mad. These girls just wrote, no. And these are all women now. I always make fun of the guys. I make fun of the women. No. And someone wrote, as a lawyer for sexually traumatized people, oh, fuck off. I have people very close to me who have been victims of abuse. I have so many people in my life, and they would all fucking laugh at that if they thought it was a funny joke. The nobody is triggered. By the way, he didn't even grab anyone's pussy, if that makes sense. Like, there's women who were sexually harassed by him, but the grab the pussy is such a weird thing. It just, what I picture is someone going right up to you and just cupping your crotch. You know what I mean? Instead of like grabbing your butt, they just cup your crotch. It's like, what are you doing? You know? He said, I just go up to them and grab their pussy. They let you. Now, yes. Did he sexually harass people and assault them? Yes, he did. Grab the pussy was a separate thing. It was a weird comment he made. There was no woman that filed a thing like, he grabbed my pussy. Now, did he grab pussies in his own way? Yes, of course. But it's also like, the joke is, now if you can understand the joke, is that our president sexually assaulted people, including his ex-wife claiming that he raped her after his hair plug treatment didn't go as he wanted it to. Okay? Comes home and rapes the wife. As you do. So, he's in the White House. And Hillary's not, because her husband was a bit of a perv. So can't have her. What was she doing standing by her man? I'm going to vote for a man who actually sexually harassed people. Hillary didn't sexually harass anyone, but it is even worse to stand by the man who did. I'm voting Donald Trump. He is on rape charges for a 13-year-old. That got cleared. That's our president. Retweeting fake right-wing news should be enough to disgust anybody. But no, we've got more we can be disgusted at. He likes to grab pussies because he thinks he can, because he's famous. Oh, that's right. That's from a tape of our president talking to Billy Bush of entertainment news reporting fame, because our president is a reality television star. So that's what the joke is about, is no matter where we turn, we've got a suck-ass president. No matter what he does, I don't know what's worse. The propaganda of spreading fake news, or harassing people. That's the joke. Is it dark? I guess so. But I used grab the pussy, which is something everybody was saying to ridiculous degrees after that tape came out. I didn't say the R word. I wasn't graphically describing a sexual assault. And I said I'd rather he grab my pussy. Not yours. Not some victim, not a 15-year-old, mine. I get to decide what I, if someone said to me, look it, I know this is not fair. Fake news and alt-right shit is really fucking our country up. Yes, it is. So Jen, you could do away with the Drudge Report completely, and that would mean our president wouldn't be able to retweet it. Oh my God, I can do that? Well, should I just say something on my podcast or something? No. I put it in my email blast. Well, no. Oh, you want me to put it in my stand-up, just say something about it? All right. I mean, is that normally what I would do? But maybe I can. No. The way that you could get the president to stop retweeting Drudge Report, because in fact you have gotten the Drudge Report to not exist, is he has to grab your pussy. Oh. Okay, so if he grabs my pussy, then there's no more fake right-wing news? Nope. Well, that surely does more damage to the world than my specific pussy being grabbed. But that is fucking gross. I don't want to go through that. I'll take one for the team. That's the joke. I mean, it's just a dumb thing. Of course I don't want him to grab my pussy or yours. And all these women were like, no. And none of these women had been pussy grabbed. They were just, and then someone else was like, I'm also a lawyer for sexual assault and I've been assaulted. And the joke was funny. It's these fucking people with the rose next to their name. I'm a democratic socialist too, but I understand that the country I live in isn't. So you vote as liberal as you can, because we're a country that is for the people, by the people. And most people are in the center. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. You can't just throw everyone to the left because you want it that way. I get your idealism, but you're standing your ground is part of the reason that the election got close enough to steal. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was screaming about this on my podcast, you Jill Stein motherfuckers. And I know, I was guilty of it once. So, everyone was getting outraged, and I just was having fun fucking with these people. This is not your finest moment. Like, would you shut up? Would you, what are you, what is this? Could anyone point me to the revolution? Because I haven't seen it. Now Bernie's got beyond the revolution. No, beyond the resistance. Fuck you, dude. We're not beyond it. We are the resistance. And it's women. And it's women that worked for Hillary and voted for Hillary. And it's women that have always been doing fucking shit. And it's women of color that have been telling you people as the canaries in the coal mine what the fuck is going on in this country. And you didn't listen until he started talking about your fucking college tuition. Who gives a shit? I mean, I do. I want you to be able to get an education. But for the love of Christ, if this is how you're going to act with information, I don't want you to get any more information. I want you to start playing video games and hide out. Let us just, please, people. I don't even know what I was saying. I literally know that I was talking about the joke thing and I started, oh, beyond the resistance. He can't just join the resistance, can he? I'm going beyond. What? All I see is people harassing women who actually have money to give to organizations. I spend a lot of money helping organizations. I do marches. I do emails. I do calls. I get together with friends. We have like a clothing sale. We give the money to Planned Parenthood. I work with this. I do. What the dick is this beyond the... What was he just... All I see is people online harassing women. Women harassing women. Babies having babies. Oh, God, I hate this people. I really do. You people are going to push me to the middle. I'm going to have a stroke now. Stroke me, stroke me. Do you listen to that song? Are you guys too young, Heidi and Eleanor, to know the song by Billy Squire called The Stroke? Because that's another little way that you could laugh yourself through this. I'm going to find it. It was on I bought an album in 1982 called The 1982 Hit List. It was a vinyl. We didn't call it vinyl then. We called it records. And I played it all the time. The Stroke, Billy Squire. I love this song. Oh, I don't need to have an ad right now. I can skip the video in 2, 1. All right. Computer's still going slow. Whoa. If you're in the game, then stroke's a word. Oh my God. This guy's from Massachusetts. So much talent from there, huh? Woo! Woo! Oh, there he goes. Oh my God. Just rocking out my room like an 8-year-old badass. Yeah! People in this apartment building are probably like, what the fuck is going on? Those people that rent their place as an Airbnb, this has been the worst rental yet. She's screaming about Bernie Broettes. And now she's playing The Stroke. Here, you can listen to this. Ooh, you like the background? Stroke me, stroke me, stroke. Then this song gets like weirdly military in the middle. I'm never going to find it. I'm never going to find it. Billy Squire, he's going to be like, why did I make $8 million in sales for The Stroke last week on iTunes? Oh, yeah, this part. I always thought that sounded like soldiers marching, and it was creepy. All right. Well, that's great. Enjoy that song, everybody. Everybody out there has had a stroke. Please enjoy that song. Oh, so then I see here people who ignore politics. Hello, my name is Eleanor. So I hadn't read this woman's girlfriend's email, the one who had the stroke. So I cut and pasted them all in a document, and now look at it. So I'm going to read. I'm giving these people a lot of attention in this episode. So this is Eleanor. Hello, my name is Eleanor. And I know I'm a relatively new, I seem fun listener. I know. I'm only a real fan if I know you from earlier material because that's how taste is measured. No, I don't think that. No. My stuff now is better than anything I've ever done. My early stuff is terrible. I just don't like when people only know me from Chelsea Lately and then they think that I'm going to go out with them and talk about Chelsea all night or something. No, I don't mind new fans. My girlfriend and I have both gotten really into listening on your podcast whenever we need a good laugh. Anyway, I'm French and a soon-to-be lawyer. Basically, I'm the single most opinionated woman on the planet. I see I'm going to be a lawyer soon, and so I don't need to hear your opinion. I've got my own. So what I really appreciate most about your podcast, aside from the innumerable laughs, is how you blend news, politics, views, and personal stories. This really caters to my sometimes compulsive need for balance and my belief that everyone should be informed of what is happening in the world. Yes, the news is shitty. Yes, the American president is a moldy carrot with dangerous liaisons in the mouth of a large, disgusting, sexist bass. With the news lately, it's not difficult to get depressed and are anxious about all the terrible things in the world. In my opinion, that's not an excuse to refuse to pay attention. Is it simply out of the question for people to step outside of their bubble of work, family, and friends? If no one pays attention, people like Donald get elected, put forth politics that endanger people, and society as a whole becomes generally shitty. So it infuriates me when I hear other people saying they're too scared to read the news. Now, I suppose my question is it entirely outrageous of me to expect people to not be so self-centered? Personally, I don't think so, but I would love to hear your opinion on the topic of people not wanting to read current events. I don't like it. I mean, look, I have friends who have like really bad anxiety and they're like, I can't look at the news. I'm triggered, but they participate in causes. They put their money where their mouth is. They're good people. They've got good values, but they just don't, you know, you can't like, there's informed and then there's like obsessively watching cable news all day or everyone's screaming at each other, you know? You read a couple articles in a couple newspapers per day. Maybe you scroll through some your favorite reporters on Twitter. I mean, I think that's fine, you know. But I think that, I think everyone should know a little something. I mean, even if it's not something crazy, like we've got this crazy president, I think everyone should be involved at all times because it's a democracy and that's how it works. And we're really lucky to have it. And most people would kill to be able to have a say in their country's politics. And then that's where I get these purity people who are like, but this politics sucks. And it's like, okay, go somewhere where you don't have any freedom. And I don't mean if you don't like it, move. But by the way, Eleanor, if anyone's French and they're living in America, go, what are you doing? Can I have your French residence? Go move back. Are the careers that much better here? You're French. You hit the jackpot. You hit the birth jackpot. You've got healthcare and cheese and wine. And you're French. And you're French. You're just cooler than everybody. What are you doing? Go back. Take your girlfriend. Marry her and get her a green card. This is ridiculous. Why is anyone from another country not leaving? I seriously mean it. I look at my friends from Australia. I'm like, go back. Come back when he's done. But what are you doing? I don't know. Listen, you must really love America in ways that people are born here are like, okay. I like this email. This email puts a new perspective on the messy roommate thing. By the way, is something like a messy roommate driving you fucking crazy? Do you have nowhere to turn? Do you have a roommate because you're broke? And you're like, yeah, it would be great if I could go to therapy, but I can't. I've got a roommate, obviously no money to throw around at a freaking therapist who's out of network. Well, that's why you know I love our sponsor, Talkspace. Talkspace. It's the online therapy company that connects you with a licensed therapist, not just some schmo, for just $32 a week. That is like getting That's paying a quarter of what most therapy sessions are. Whether you want to talk, you could talk about Trump. You could talk about the fact that you just had a stroke. You could talk about your messy roommate. You could talk about people in your life that aren't involved enough in politics. Or you can just say, you know what? I don't even know what I want to talk about. Ask me some questions. See where I need to maybe balance things a little better in my life. You can talk about anything. Therapists can't judge you. That's the best part. And you're paying them. So if they do judge you, you know, that's messed up. But no one on Talkspace is going to do that. These are pros. And I know people have gotten back to me and said they're using it. And I think it's amazing. So Talkspace can help you. This is how you do it. You use the Talkspace smartphone app or website, and you can text an audio message your therapist as much as you want, which you know I always say that's amazing. And for a reasonable additional fee, you can have a video call as well. So if you go to Talkspace.com/Jen or use coupon code Jen, you will get $30 off your first month. That's basically like a week free. And it shows your support for this podcast. So don't lose sleep, don't lose your cool, and don't lose out on my special offer. Again, Talkspace.com/Jen. Have your own therapist in your pocket. Okay, so this girl, you remember I was talking about messy roommates, and I told that story about I had a former messy roommate and why is she doing this? And then someone else had written in, and that's how we got started on it. And they were like, what do I do? The girl's so messy. Well, I enjoyed this email from Alex. She wrote me, hang on. Oh, should I go to yoga tonight? I was like, I just need a night where I go to yoga. And then now that I have the night free, I'm like, I don't want to go to yoga. Oh, I think I might have to. Okay. Oh, you guys tell me what to do. But by the time this comes out, it'll be too late. Oh, what do? I don't want to go. I know you're going to say no, but anyone who goes always feels better after. I know, but I have wasted so much time getting there and getting back. Okay. Dear Jen and all other I Seem Funners. Well, thank you. Most people don't address the emails to they don't even think about the audience. Go ahead and use my name, Alex. I just wanted to humbly give an alternate perspective to the issue of neat versus messy roommates. I'm a 22-year-old girl, and I am the messy roommate. From a young age, messy people, especially girls, are told that they have to neaten up for the benefit of neat people. The idea is that neat people's sense of comfort and ability to function are strongly tied to the tidiness of their physical environment, whereas messy people are lazy or inconsiderate. While I'm sure this is sometimes the case, in my case in particular, my sense of comfort and ability to function is also tied to the state of my environment. If I'm in a place that's immaculately neat, I start to panic. In order to spend time in a museum or a private library? Yeah, come to my private library. I like the sound of that. In order to spend time in a museum or a private library or anywhere else that is this level of neat, I need to fiddle with the random shit in my pocket or else I feel like I'm going to explode or something. My shrink says it's because I grew up in a very chaotic environment, so I associate chaos with comfort and order. Oh, I associate chaos with comfort and order, neatness, with unfamiliarity. In order to feel like I live in a place, I need to see evidence of my life, or else I can never feel at home. I feel like a house guest in my own living space. Am I wrong for wishing that maybe once, if the neat person isn't as invested in their space as I am, maybe they should be yielding to, or at least making an effort to compromise with me instead of the other way around always being the norm? Or if that is asking too much, I just want neat people to understand that sometimes our need for chaos and clutter goes deeper than they realize. Well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, now we're getting into neat versus messy. But I'm thinking, like, let's just take this off the table. Nobody needs to compromise on clean. There's no compromise. Things have to be clean. There can't be mold or dishes in the sink. But if you want your desk to be unorganized or the living room's good, fine. I think that would be my compromise. Like, as long as there's no, you know, things that can attract, you know, the molding or things crawling around, you know. But I think that's interesting because I have two things. I get so overwhelmed that everything has to be neat and in its place. And sometimes to the point where I organize so much that then I don't have time to do the task I was going to do. And that's a big like ADHD thing. So I'm obsessed with keeping it neat at all times because I can't work unless everything around me is neat. And I don't want to have to take the time to make it neat, because then I'm like, oh shit, all these hours went by and now I don't have time to do the work. So that's like, I have the same thing you do, but I also am comfortable with chaos in terms of world events. And that's why I always talk about 9/11, because it was the first day that the world looked like the way my parents always said it was going to when they were scaring me about nuclear war when I was a kid. And now everyone was scaring me about nuclear war. It's all the grown-ups were talking about. And it never happened. And then I'm living in a city where the buildings are exploding and planes are crashing into them. And I'm like, okay, I was prepared for this. This looks like what everyone said adulthood was going to look like. And, you know, I was told the world was going to end in the year 2000. There was going to be a war. So, okay, they're a year off. And here it is, Armageddon, finally. And everyone else was freaking out. And I was calm because I was used to it in a way, because my mind was always creating these scenarios and I had panic disorder. So to have other people freaking out for once, I was like, I can relax today. So I get it. But it didn't end up being so for me in terms of chaos in my head equals that I need chaos to feel comfortable. But I know what you're saying. There, I have it in other areas where certain things I'm comfortable with that are not healthy or normal. So I get it. So that's the other perspective, people. I don't think we would work out as roommates, Alex, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. All right, listen, I don't have time to start a new topic. I don't have time to either. Okay, then one thing we have in common. So next week, oh, we are going to talk about so many great things. Somebody wrote me about when do you tell someone on a date that you don't want kids? We've got someone with a, they're stuck in high school in the South. We've got my two stories about dudes saying weird things to me. And I'm sure whatever else happens next week. Until next week, have fun.